At least they want to get out of here, whatever pastor's doing. So, came across a story in Reader's Digest not too long ago. In fact, I used this, told this story in a wedding, about a year ago, and you guys are here, so maybe you remember this story. But in the Reader's Digest, the story about a woman who was away for a few days at a teacher's convention. And suddenly she remembered that it was Monday. And Monday was trash day. And so she expressed her concern to her fellow teachers around her, but her friend tried to calm her fears, reminding her that her husband was still at home and he could certainly put out the trash on his own. To which she said, "It takes both of us to take out the trash. I can't carry it, and he can't remember it." Oh, it's the partnership that God's given us. Well, how many of you remember this? Can you see it? And not everybody does, because the church has changed in a year. So not every day. How many of you can remember what it means? Well, it's kind of, if you look close enough, it actually says right underneath it. So that's not. Attachment, relationship, attachment model. And we got these different things here. I don't know if you even remember what those things are on there. How many of you are impacted by what it taught us? And have continued to be impacted by it. How many of you forgot it? How many honestly slacked a little bit? Like, how many of you married couples are still doing your monthly or weekly checkups? How long has it been since you've had a checkup? Maybe it's your yearly one today, right? You got to go in for your yearly one. Maybe that's what we're doing. I have to be honest, me too. I mean, Tamara and I, every week we were having our checkups, and we haven't had them so much on such a basis. Well, you know, that's the nature of learning, isn't it? It's a reason why we need repetition and reminders in our lives. We get busy. We can settle back, right, into the old habits, and we just forget. I mean, that's why we, think about it, this morning was a great illustration for us. That's why we do communion on the first Sunday of the month every month, so that we don't forget, so we don't settle back into where we were before. We get too busy that we forget what Jesus has done in our lives. We often need a refresher course, even in the most important matters. We need those things to help us. And so that's what we're going to do with this. We're going to take just this Sunday, I'm going to talk about this, and then I'll kind of give you the plan going forward. But when you think about relationships, is there anything more important than relationships? You know, whenever you get to the topic of relationships, there's always going to be somebody sitting where you're sitting who in their mind is thinking, can we just get on to the spiritual stuff? Like, I do not need a pastor to get up and talk about relationships. In fact, last time we did this, there was someone who visited our church, and I heard from a friend who actually was really disappointed because he's like, well, I don't need this stuff. Just give me the word. I don't need this relationship stuff. I've already got my... And when people say that, I almost want to say, when's the last time you asked people who have a relationship with you whether you need help in relationships? Couple laughs, a couple like, ooh, that's right. If you're like, I don't need help in relationships, I'm doing just fine. Everybody around me knows exactly what I felt 50 years ago, and I haven't changed my mind, so I don't tell them anymore, right? Right? Well, I will tell you, those people, if you're one of those sitting there today, go, I don't need help in relationships, you probably need more help than you know. Probably more help than I can give. See, I believe it's so, in fact, I want to suggest this. Relationships are spiritual stuff. In fact, it may be impossible to grow spiritually without growing in relationships. In fact, you may, if you try to do everything in your life, but you choose to fail at relationships, I believe you're choosing to fail in spiritual growth. Don't believe me? Let's just take a little look at 1 John. In the book of 1 John, this little letter, it says 1 John 3:10, by this it is evident to all. By this is it evident. Well, maybe I'm glad I brought my glasses again today. All right. It's one of those glasses mornings. All right, here we go. By this is it evident.
All right, let's try this again. Let's speak, yeah. But yeah, you're like, Pastor, we can read it just fine. Yeah, but mine's 14 point here. All right. By this it is. Whew, that was tough. Evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Wow. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. That includes sister there too. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, 16 through 17. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But remember, just remember, whenever it says brothers, it's like mankind. It's brothers and sisters. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? You're like, I should have read that before I asked for the offering, right? 1 John 4, 20 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. He cannot love God whom he has not seen. This commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. In Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul described how marriage is to reflect our relationship with God. And in 1 Peter 3, 7, the Apostle Peter pointed out that not honoring your spouse hinders your prayers. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40, says this, And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him, asking Jesus, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as... Interesting, he didn't ask for that, did he? Because he already knew the answer to what his question was. You ever get that? Someone asks you a question, they already know the answer. Well, that's when you know they're testing you. The guy just wanted to hear Jesus say, love God. But Jesus said, let's take this a little further. And he said, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said, on these two. The man wanted one. Because it's easy to nebulously, philosophically love God. But Jesus had to bring it down to earth and say, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So let me ask, how do you show love without relationship? I've heard it said, you can love a skunk from a long way away. The one in my neighborhood has to be a long way away. That thing stinks, I'll tell you. I don't know who it's hitting, but somebody's messed up. How do you love without relationship? It's been said, you can have relationship without love, but you can't have love without relationship. In fact, the ability to fulfill the law of God, to love your neighbor as yourself, requires a determination on our part to have an ability to grow in our relationships, to fulfill that love that God calls us. It's interesting, many times as a pastor, I have people want to know what the will of God is. Pastor, what's the will of God? What's God's will? Typically, when we ask that question, we're asking for big decisions, like, does God want me to take this job or this job? Does God want me to go to this ministry? Or does God want me to marry this person? It's typically like that. But when you talk about what the Scripture, when the Scripture talks about the will of God, take a look at this. Much of what God's will is for us is wrapped up in how we relate to others. Romans chapter 1, or chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'll just kind of give you a synopsis of it. But we're going to read the second verse is this. Do not be conformed to this world. Amen. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now listen, we like that verse. But have you read the rest of Romans chapter 12? After he says to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to have our mind renewed by the word so that we'll know the will of God, he goes on to just talk about relationships. Paul says, He talks about gifts within the body and how they're supposed to work together. He talks about mutual care for everyone in the body. He talks about sincere love. In fact, the whole section is entitled Marks of a Genuine Christian. The will of God and relationships are so linked. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." But then it goes on in the next verses. In verse 6 it says, "That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter." Verse 9 says, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another." Did you catch that? God's will is so wrapped up in relationships that every time Scripture talks about the will of God, it immediately goes to the issue of relationships, of how we treat one another and how we love one another. So is there anything more spiritual than relationships? Not much. Not much. So here's the commercial break. Are you ready? I should actually recorded this and turned it on. Here's the commercial break. Beginning October 12th, for 6 weeks, we will be dedicating our Wednesday night Bible study. By October 12th, it won't be Lawn Chair Church anymore. Probably may not be Lawn Chair Church this week. It may be over. But we're going to commit our Wednesday night Bible study to learn or to relearn how to build and nurture the connections that make for relationships that are healthier and more fulfilling. And everybody could sign up for that. Man, who doesn't want to have healthier relationships that are more fulfilling? I mean, if you don't, you're a glutton for punishment, right? And our guides are going to be, in this process, will be Christian counselors and authors, John Van Emp and Morgan Cutliffe, who helped us. What we're going to do is, those of you who are in it before already know, we'll watch a video, and then we're going to break up into small group times. And the videos are about a couple of 10-minute videos, and the rest of it is just being in small groups. I've already talked to some facilitators that are going to be heading those groups, including Tamara and myself. And this will be Wednesday nights for kids and youth are going to still be the kids and youth thing, but this is going to be for adults, both married and single adults. And so we're going to be watching the video together, all together, and then Tamara and I are going to be leading a group with the single adults because we know so much about being a single adult. No, we'll learn from you. But we're going to lead that, and then we have three other groups that are going to lead for married couples. And so it's going to be a great time. Now, I'm giving you this a week in advance. So this Wednesday, we're not going to be doing that. We're going to be doing that on the 12th. And I'm giving you a week in advance for two reasons. So you can get ready, because you might have plans this Wednesday, so you can get ready. But also, I'm giving this to you early so you can get others. I had so many of you say, boy, this changed my marriage, this changed our family, this changed my relationships at work, this changed my relationships. Well, you know what? If it changed you, it might help somebody else. Invite a friend. Invite somebody to come. When we did these small groups last year, there is one group of people that love those small groups so much that they have been continuing that small group ever since. They're still doing that. Like, they had so much fun with that group, they're still doing that. And so I'm looking forward to this time. But there's a lot of time left this morning. So for the rest of this, that was the commercial. Now we're back to the sermon. Are you ready? Okay. The rest of this morning, I want to demonstrate why these five bonds behind me, know, trust, rely, commit, and touch. This is the whole concept of the relationship attachment. These are the five bonds that if you work on them in your relationships, they will make your relationship stronger. And they are actually in order, these things that we go. So what I'm going to do today is I want to help us understand why these are so important. And I'm going to do this by talking about the greatest relationship in our life, the most important relationship in our life, which is our relationship with God. So this morning I'm going to talk about how these five bonds relate to our relationship with God. We're going to start there, and then we'll, through the next 6 weeks, starting October 12th, we'll get to do that on Wednesdays. Now, just so you're aware of, if we're doing it on Wednesdays, what are we doing on Sundays? Sundays, next Sunday we have a great special guest. It's going to be amazing. If you have not heard from a Messianic Jew, a Messianic Christian who has the Jewish heritage, describe to you about Jesus, that's next Sunday. and about the feasts. And the autumn feasts are the feasts of the end times. And so next Sunday, you do not want to miss. Then after that, what are we going to do? Then we're going to be back in James. So Sundays are going to kind of pretty much go as they have, but Wednesdays, this is the launch for what we're going to be doing in a few weeks. So let's talk about this. The first bond to any relationships is the same thing that God calls us to. Jesus calls us to know him. And the first bond to relationships is to know. This one right here. All right? So we're going to talk about that one first. Genesis 1:26 tells us that God made us in his image and in his likeness. In Genesis 3:8, it tells us after he created Adam and Eve that he walked with them. That's relationship. In fact, what was the song that was just played? Jesus. Jesus walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. That does not sound like religious language. That sounds like relational language. And that's how God created us. The Bible says that he created us to know us. He didn't just spin the world on its head and say, okay, I'll be back sometime. He created us to know us. And even more, he created us to be known by us. God wants us to know him. I mean, you think about it, that is amazing. Even this morning, at the beginning of the service, I said, the creator of the universe died for us. But even more, not just sacrifice, he wants to know us and have relationship with us. But we know the story, many of us. Adam and Eve, God wasn't enough. And he's still not enough. Even for followers of his. Men and women throughout history have continued and still continue to turn away from the offered relationship that God has presented to us. But you know what? God wasn't okay with that. God is stubborn. Man, he won't take no for it. He just keeps coming, right? And so what did he do? He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to come to this earth, to bring us to God so we could know him, because God wants to have that relationship with us. In fact, so much so that John 1:12 says, to all who receive him, to those who believe on his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. I know a lot of you know that, but you think how amazing that is. I mean, we're not talking children of the most famous rich person you like. We're talking about be children of the creator of the universe, children of God. For those who choose to accept this, to know this relationship between us and God has been restored. But if the no doesn't grow, then our relationship doesn't go anywhere. I mean, we start when we know God in this area, we continue. But if it doesn't grow, guess what else doesn't grow? None of this other stuff grows. If we stay at an infant level of knowing God, then our trust in him doesn't grow, and our ability to rely on him doesn't grow, and our commitment to him doesn't grow, and his touch in our life doesn't grow. And that's why a lot of people can come to Jesus, and then within a few months or a few years, they fall away. Because they never grew in this area of their relationship with God. And when we don't do that, then that relationship is hindered and it will not grow. But God wants us to know him. And he teaches us things about himself from his word, from our relationships with one another, through life experiences. I mean, you have to be totally numb to not go through some of the stuff we went through as people through this pandemic and not see God's hand and grow through him. But sometimes that happens. And if that doesn't grow, then the rest doesn't grow. But if as the more we invest in the know, guess what happens? I'm not fooling you. It's right here. The more we grow in the know, then we come to this place of trust. And the apostle Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 18 says, and I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. If they would continue to know God and grow in the riches of his knowledge, Paul knew that they would be able to trust him. I love Psalms 9:10. And those who know your name put their trust in you. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Now trust, when we think about trust, what does it mean? Trust actually means confidence. To have confidence in God, to have confidence in someone. And that confidence comes because of what we know or who we know God to be. I mean, think about it. If your know of God is that he's out to get you, that he wants to take you out, that he wants to take all your fun away, that he's mean and judgmental and watch out, he's going to kill you, or this, then how much are you going to trust a God like that? I mean, think about it. The worship we sing, I believe in God the Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. All these things we believe. And why is that so important for us to voice what we believe? Because what we believe, what we know, impacts our trust in him. When you know that God loves you, that he gave his son for you, that he's waking, and he doesn't go to sleep, so, you know, but everything that he thinks of is for your good, it changes your ability to trust him. You see, that trust, that confidence we have, and you'll learn this word if you haven't already, is called a trust picture. It's what we know, what we believe about God. And it's amazing because, folks, people don't know how big of a deal that is. But I've taught a class before on beliefs. And if you had a button-down shirt, I should call Mac up here. I won't do that. When you have a button-down shirt that has buttons all the way, if you just change one button on that shirt, all the rest of them are off. Any of you ever done that? And you end up with your shirt like this, you know, it's hanging down here, and you're like, something's wrong. Honey, help me. You know what's going on, right? You've been there. That is where it is with our belief in God. If your belief in God is off one button, it changes everything else in your life. And so what we believe about him, what we know about him, has such an impact. Because as I grow to know him more, and I get to know what the scripture says, and I learn about him, then what happens is my trust begins to go up because I know that he is worthy of that. It's called a trust picture. You'll hear that word again as we study this. And it's so important to have an accurate trust picture of God. In fact, John 6:69 tells us the disciples believed in Jesus, listen to this, because they knew who he was. The disciples believed in Jesus because they knew who he was. It starts with the know and it goes to the trust, but then it turns into the rely. Now, let me ask you, is it possible to trust in God yet choose to rely on ourselves, other people, and other things? Think about it. Is it possible to say, to trust in God, I trust God, but then in the practical application, you really rely on other things? I think it's absolutely, we do this all the time. Lord, I trust you to save me. I trust you to give me eternal life. I trust you to baptize me in your spirit. I trust you. We trust him in things we have no control over, right? That we can't do anything about. But then it comes to something else, and we kind of sit back and say, you know, God, I got this one. I don't need to trust you to pay my bills because I got my paycheck. Isn't it great when you don't get one? No. All of a sudden you go, I need that trust factor to go up, right? I need God. You know, God, I don't need you in my health right now. I'm doing great. I feel great. And then some diagnosis comes and all of a sudden, trust, right? We realize really quickly all the things we thought we could do on our own, we really can't. And the beautiful thing about rely is rely takes us to a deeper level of trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a lot of you know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is key. In all your ways. That's the key right there. In all your ways. And it's great because the word all in the Greek means the same thing it means in the English. Okay? Woo! Pasapasapan. It's three different words, right? So the Greek word says all. In all your ways, and that would actually be Hebrew because it's the Old Testament, so forget what I said. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Okay, let's get to this. The difference between trust and rely is all. Trust is, I trust you, God, to save me. I trust it. But rely is, God, I need you. What's the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. You know what? When there's no bread in our house, I don't yell at God. No, that wouldn't be wise, but I do. Tamara, where's the bread at? I'm relying on her. But Jesus says, you know what? The Christian walk is rely on God for your daily bread. This is the rely. Rely takes things to the practical level. We know and we trust and then rely, says, you know what, God, I'm going to wake up this morning. If you don't do this, if you don't take care of it, it ain't getting taken care of. You think, the Lord's Prayer blows me away. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. You need to pray that every day, because it will remind you, as it reminds me when I prayed every day, that I need to rely on God for everything. And that's what this is telling us. And as we learn to rely on Him, we come to a deeper place of relationship. We come to commit. When you think about it, when you think, you've heard the term, or you've heard something, they're in a committed relationship. What does that really mean when someone says, yes, I'm committed to you, or I'm committed to your cause, or I'm committed to your group? What does that really mean? I mean, let's be honest. People say a lot of things, and they don't always follow through. So we're not always sure what that means. Oh, I'm in. I'm committed. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that as a pastor. It's like, man, where did you go? It was 1 week, and you weren't there for that. See, we just don't know, but this is important. Of all the things on this chart, this one is the most important. Of all the things on this chart, commit is the most important of all of them. What commit says is, I'm with you no matter what, and then it does it. I'm with you. Commit really is the vows we say at a marriage ceremony, but then we don't break them. For richer, for poorer, for sickness and health, to love and to cherish. I mean, it'd be great in some wedding where someone just said, you know what, let's go back. Can we erase that sicker? Because I'm not sticking with them if they're sicker. I mean, at least we be honest. Or if they get poor, you know, I'm not, you know, but that's what commit says. Commit says, I'm in this no matter what. And commit has to be, somebody remember, it has to be the lead. Now, there's a show, anybody ever, it's on Disney Plus, came out during the pandemic called Togo. You ever seen that? So it's similar to, so Togo, back in 1925, there was an epidemic in Nome, Alaska. And you guys might, you guys know Togo? You're from, but the in Nome, Alaska, and this Togo was a husky. He was one of those dog sled dogs, and the movie's really a lot of fun. And he's a crazy dog. He reminds me of Murphy a little bit. But this dog, they had this epidemic, and they had to get antitoxin. And it wasn't like FedEx could come. The only way they could get this through the Alaskan winter was to get it through sled dogs. And they had to do a relay because not one dog and driver would survive, or one team and would survive. So I can't remember his name, but the driver, Togo's owner, I remember the dog's name, but not the owner, I know. Decides, Togo's kind of retired at this time. He's just like kind of hanging out. But he's like, if we're going to do this, I need this lead dog. I can't use the young one. I got to use Togo. And so Togo does this. And what is it, Balto or Balto or something like that? You've heard his story? Balto's a farce. He's a glory hog. He took all the glory. Togo is actually the dog that got the antitoxin to Balto. And then Balto got the movie made about him. And Togo was later on. What's the point of all this? I don't know. It's just a fun story to tell you. The point of this is, the whole lead, the whole team is important. The whole team is important. But there is only one dog that has to set the direction and has to get and be the guidance and has to keep on track. And so that guy chose Togo because he knew he could count on him. Listen, folks, all of those five things are important. But if any of them are the lead except commit, your relationship's in trouble. So commit has to be the lead. I'll tell you which one is God's. When it comes to our relationship with God, I can tell you the one that it leads God in your relationship with Him. No. He knows everything about you. That doesn't disturb you at all? He knows every thought you've had. He's over the word you've said under your breath that your wife couldn't hear. He's known every action and deed. He knows everything about us. So if God's relationship with us was dependent on what He knows, you know what? We may try really hard in this Christian life. We may try to please God, but the reality is, no matter how hard we try, the honest truth is sometimes we're just not trustworthy. And God knows everything. And sometimes He knows He can't rely on us.
We sometimes were like the disciples in Matthew 26, verse 33, where Peter and the other disciples, Jesus said, guess what, guys? I'm going to die, and when they come and get me, you're all going to run away. And you remember this, a lot of you remember the story of Matthew 26, what happened? No way! Peter's like, no, I'll die with you. And you know what happens? Because he could rely, Jesus could rely on them, right? His hand-picked disciples who'd spent 3.5 years, they've seen him raise the dead and everything, and as soon as those soldiers come up, I mean, Peter at least like grabbed a sword and tried to cut a ear off. I don't know what that was all about, but he did that. Wait, they all fled. They all got out of there. God knows us. He knows when we're going to fail. He knows that. But that's why when it comes to your relationship with God, God is led by one thing and one thing only, his commitment to you. Isn't that good? He's led by his commitment to us. And so if you have a bad day, a bad week, bad year, bad decade, his relationship to you is led by his commitment to you. And I believe it's the one we need to choose. You see, God's perfect. God never does anything wrong out of the wrong timing, certainly not in our timing, but he does things sometimes that we don't understand. And so what we need to be led in our relationship with God is not what we know, not our trust, not our rely, but our commitment to him. God, I'm in this. Kind of like the Apostle Peter said when Jesus said, you all going to leave me now? And what did he say to Peter? Or what did Peter say to Jesus? Where else are we going to go? Only you have the words of life. That's commit. They were watching all these other people fading and going away. Jesus was saying stuff that would sound nuts. And they said, but there's no one else but you, Jesus. The final bond, touch. Some of you are like, how does that one apply to our relationship with God? Touch. I mean, you know what? Sometimes don't you wish you could run to daddy? I bet you God's a good hugger. My dad was. And in this church, God would be overwhelmed. You'd all be hugging him because that's kind of what we are. We're family, right? And even though on this earth, we will likely never feel the physical touch of Jesus, how many of you know he touches us? His presence surrounds us. Reminds me of the old song, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this. Do you know that's my number one prayer every Sunday? I just want his presence to be here. And he is. His Holy Spirit fills us. He intervenes in our lives every day, folks. We just got to keep our eyes open. And I'm the love of heaven when God goes back through and says, let's watch the video of your life and show you how many bazillion times I intervened in your life every day. It's going to be beautiful. He touches us with his word in songs that speak to our hearts. And he touches us through his people. And he touches us through his creation. Every hunter said amen. He touches us through his creation. The Bible says that his creation, it speaks of him. We see him. And you know what? We touch him in worship. That's why worship isn't just the getting the feels and the tingles for us. It's we're reaching, we're connecting with him. We touch him in worship as we worship him in spirit and truth. And you know what? We touch him as we touch others. Matthew 20:25 tells us, whatever you do unto the least of these, my brothers, whatever you do to the least, you do unto me. Last time you bought somebody some food, you did it unto Jesus. Last time the Holy Spirit touched your heart and you handed someone a few dollars. Last time you gave it to missions. Last time you shared love with somebody. Jesus said, whatever you did to the least of these. Last time you visited someone in prison or in the hospital or you did those things to Jesus. Do you know there's a whole lot more touch going on in our relationship with God than we might really think? He is touching us and we're touching him. And the beauty of this is as we know him and we trust him and rely on him and we are committed to him, I believe that we touch him and he touches us in that connection and relationship. You know, one of the amazing aspects of Jesus' ministry is when he touched people that he didn't need to touch to heal them. I mean, I love in Scripture how many times Jesus touched somebody. He didn't need to. When that leper walked up and said, "You heal me," you know what? You know how I would have done that? I would have been like, "You just stay right there. Be healed." Jesus didn't do that because Jesus wasn't worried about that. He wasn't worried about himself as much as he's worried about, well, if Jesus got leprosy, he'd just heal himself too, right? I mean, no problem. Jesus touched the leper. The woman caught in the adultery. All these different things where Jesus didn't have to touch people, but he did. Because you know what? Jesus realized something. That some people needed more than healing on the outside. They needed healing on the inside. And that leper hadn't had touch ever since the first piece of leprosy. The first flake of skin fell off his body. He was unclean and untouched all that time. And so Jesus touched the leper. You know why? Because Jesus' whole mission was to restore our relationship with God. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so Jesus was, I mean, if you don't like the hug, Jesus would have disappointed you. Jesus touched people. Because he loved people, and he especially touched the people who were felt ostracized, unacceptable, left out. He even touched the dead. Folks, you got to understand, Jesus came to restore our relationship with God. You and I today have the only hope we have that when we talk and we pray and we worship that God hears us is the bridge that was made because of the cross. I'll say it one more time just in case you didn't hear it. He came to heal our relationship with God, and that required the bond of touch. I want to close with these words of this poem that was written by Myra Brooks Welch. It says this: "It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth the while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bid for this old violin? Who will start the bidding for me? A dollar? A dollar, who will make it two? $2, and who will make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no. From the back of the room, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust off the old violin and tightening up the strings, he began to play a melody pure and sweet as the angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, 'What am I bid for the old violin?' And he held it up with a bow. $1,000, who will make it two? $2,000. Who will make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone,' said he. The people cheered, but some of them said, 'We do not quite understand. What changes its worth?' came the reply. The touch of the master's hand. And many a man and woman with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. But the master comes, and the thoughtless crowd never quite understands the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of a master's hand." Jesus invites every man, woman, child to enter into relationship with him. And he comes and he touches us. Whether we've been walking with him for decades or perhaps maybe today is your day. But just like all the other relationships in our life, coasting won't cause it to grow. Have you found that? You get married and go, "You know what? Our relationship's going to grow if we just kind of just do life." No. Have anybody found the opposite? You just do life and you don't put anything into it. Into any relationship, really. Right? I've had friends and people I've ministered with that I haven't seen in years, and it's just not the same.
It just won't grow by coasting. We need to continue to know Christ. That was Paul's whole, I want to know Christ. Not just know and then it's done, but continually know Christ. To choose to trust, to take steps of faith to rely on Him, to be led by our commitment to Him and enjoy all the various ways He touches us while we touch others for Him. And I know, I watch it when we have our prayer and worship nights. Some of you show up at those worship nights and you just like, I want to just touch Jesus. I could be doing a lot of things on a Friday night for a couple hours, but I just want to touch Jesus. And it's awesome. He wants to touch us. So Sunday mornings we're going to continue to do the book of James, but for the next 6 Wednesdays beginning October 12th, we will dedicate that time to strengthen our bonds of relationship with God and with everyone else in our lives. And maybe, just maybe, the Lord will do a miracle, a resurrection in a relationship that we thought was dead. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and just... Maybe your relationship with God is on life support. Maybe nobody else would know that, but you're struggling with some things very deep within you. Maybe you've gone through some trials that have really taken you down. Maybe you've faced some people who call themselves Christians and they've been anything but Christian or Christ-like to you. Maybe there are doubts that are haunting you and life experiences, and your relationship with God is not going well. And as I say that, it's all because, what did I mention? Your life experiences, someone else, trials, doubts, those all start with the no. And I invite you today on a new journey, whatever you're facing, to know that God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. To know He is for you, not against you. And He loves you. Maybe for you it's the first time you've made a decision to follow Jesus. To have that relationship with Him. And it's all so new to you, but something in your heart right now is just calling you to that. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to say right where you are. If you're in that situation, your relationship with God is in a difficult place, or you've not made that relationship decision with Him. You're here today. Maybe you're at home watching online. I want to pray for you. And if this is you, I want you to receive this prayer. And I want you to talk to God right where you are. I want you to tell Him, Lord, my relationship with You is hurting, and He knows. And this is why. Because I'm doubting You. Because there's been some terrible things in my life. Because I'm not sure. I'm not certain. Because other Christians have been cruel to me. And just speak those to Him. Maybe you've never asked Him to be your Lord and Savior. You're saying, Lord, I want to start a relationship with You, Jesus. I don't even know what all that means, but I want to begin today. Right where you're at, talk to God. I'm going to pray for you. Jesus, You know the people in this congregation. You know some of them may be in leadership and they're having a difficult time nobody else knows about. I pray for them right now, God. I pray Your Holy Spirit would just completely envelop their body and their mind, their soul. They would feel like God just reached down and gave them a big hug. And not just for today, but as they leave this place. Lord, the doubts may not be all answered and the trials may not all be gone, but they would know that You are with them. And because they know that, they'll be able to trust that, rely upon You, commit, and Lord, You would touch their lives. For those who are receiving You for the first time, Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, to welcome them into the family. I pray Your blessing upon them, Jesus. Give them courage and strength. Help them to find someone and be found by someone who can help disciple them and help them grow in You and to be able to tell them of the decision they made today. Thank You for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you want to learn more about